A number 4 in a beam of light. The words film 4 in black and white encased in red. Black with white letters. Channel 4 Films presents. In association with Film Stiftung NRW, WDR, La Sette Cinema, Arte and Canal Plus. A Little Bird and Tat Film Production. In association with Compagnie des Phares et Belize. A Mike Hodges and Paul Myersberg film. The silver spindle of a revolving roulette wheel gleams as the ball rolls. Clive Owen, Kate Hardy, Alex Kingston, Gina McKee and Nicholas Ball in Croupier. The wheel's red and black numbers continue to revolve as a multitude of hands reach across the table to place their multicolored chips on the blue cloth grid. Gamblers crowd around the table. The croupier, a young, dark-haired man in a dinner jacket, looks on aloofly and smiles as he thinks.
Now he had become the still center of that spinning wheel of misfortune. The world turned round him, leaving him miraculously untouched. The croupier had reached his goal. He no longer heard the sound of the ball.
Casually dressed, hair dyed blonde, he sits in an office.
To begin with, he was Jack Manfred.
Now then.
I want a job, Giles.
I see. Well, let me tell you a little bit about our operation. We like personality authors. People the public recognises. Celebrity is what sells books. We can always find somebody to do the writing. What we need is the face, then the concept. Right now, I'm looking for a soccer novel. Something where a tycoon buys a lousy team and takes it to the top. 7-figure transfer fees, corruption all down the line. Violence on and off the pitch. Steroids.
Giles plays a slot machine.
You got any concepts? It could be a thug story.
Giles leans over the desk.
I tell you what. Why don't you think about it? A couple of pages. With plenty of sex, of course. Fiona!
Interesting, Giles. I will think about it.
They shake hands.
Let me give you 3 words of advice, Jack. Don't give up. Stick with it. Who persists wins, that's my motto. Right, right, right.
And Jack has 3 words for Giles. Go fuck yourself.
Jack smiles as he leaves. Jack sits on a beige sofa reading a football magazine. He looks towards a desk where a word processor screen shines blue. A cigarette smoulders beside a black fedora hat. Jack smokes as he types the words, "The ball." A novel by Jack Manfred.
Jack knew something was wrong. He'd forgotten Giles' advice. Giles said 3 words.
He changes the title to On the Ball. Jack, the hat on his head, ignores the red phone on the desk.
Nobody around. Leave a message after the beep.
He drags on his cigarette.
Jacko, if you're there, pick up, will you? I want to talk to you. It's important. Jacko, I've got some news for you. Come on, Jacko.
Yeah, Dad, it's me.
How's it going?
Good, yeah.
Found a job yet?
No.
Well, I've got something for you.
In London, I mean. I've been chatting with some friends. Now, do you know the Golden Lion Casino?
They're looking for a dealer.
Yeah, that's not what I want to do, Dad.
Now, I know you don't like taking my advice.
No, it's not that.
Listen, I've set this up for you. Now, you called a
Golden Lion, and you asked to speak to Mr. Reynolds. That's the manager. Now, I don't know him personally, but I have spoken to his boss.
Now, don't say no, Jacko. Give yourself a break.
All right, Dad, yeah, I'll think about him.
Reynolds at the Golden Lion.
Yeah, all right, Dad, yes, I'll call him.
You do, Dad. That's my boy.
Jack notes the names.
So how are you doing, Dad?
Great. Yeah, just started a new company. Solid financing. It's good. Jacko, you know I love you, don't you?
Yeah, I know that.
Don't let yourself down.
I won't.
I'll keep in touch.
Goodbye, Dad.
Jack puts the phone slowly down. Outside a luxurious hotel, his father, a fit, handsome man, walks to a bar in the garden and puts on a white waiter's jacket.
See you then. Bye.
Sorry to have kept you. What'll you have?
In the tidy white painted flat, Jack pours a drink from the freezer and puts back the bottle. He goes to his word processor and stares at the screen.
No, Jack knew it still wasn't quite right.
Jack draws on his cigarette and stares at his title. Retypes it. In the Balls. Outside, a beer can tumbles down the flight of steps to the basement flat.
He had just one word for Giles.
Jack types, balls. A door opens in the middle of a large black and white mural on the wall of an office. Jack, in a suit, tie loosened, is shown in to meet a smartly dressed, middle-aged man with grey hair.
David Reynolds. I'm the manager. Sit down, John.
Jack.
You've been recommended by the management here. You know your father. He's a bit of a reputation, hasn't he?
Has he?
In any case, I understand you've had some previous experience in South Africa. I think you'll find the rules here just a little bit different. Before we start, you haven't got a police record, have you?
No.
What school did you go to?
I was at Beddoes.
Oh. I don't think I know that one. It's private, I suppose.
There are three types of casino in the UK. High volume, small action, and middle of the road. Which does. Okay, Charlie.
Do you have a cell on Privé?
I tried. Wasn't enough business. Bunters like company.
Welcome back, Jack.
In the empty gaming room.
To the house of addiction.
Reynolds takes a tray of chips.
Thanks, Charlie.
Jack takes off his tie and goes to the other side of the roulette table.
Right, let's see you handle the chips.
I have to assume the serial numbers on the bowl and wheel correspond.
We check every 2 days.
Why not every day?
That's the procedure here. Right, sort the chips.
He spreads chips around the table and takes out a stopwatch.
Go.
Jack's fingers speed around the blue base cloth as he picks up chips of the same colour and stacks them. He finishes, slides the piles together, and Reynolds stops his watch.
Good.
Security men deliver boxes to the cashier's room.
Right, now pay me out 1825.
Jack looks down at the chips and counts them rapidly. He pushes a stack towards Reynolds.
Very good. Okay, let's have a look at your blank, Jack.
Jack deals the cards as Reynolds lays out chips. Jack puts a card face up opposite each chip and then adds a second card. Reynolds plays all the hands.
14. Too many.
Jack deftly scoops up cards and chips.
19. 16. Too many. 13. 18. 14. 19. 20.
Jack is calm and precise under Reynolds' gaze.
What's the count?
Minus nine.
Make it minus eight.
Minus nine.
What makes you so sure?
It's a rule. Always stand by your first count. The odds are you're right.
Good call.
You want me to check?
I said good call.
Reynolds walks away.
It had taken him 45 minutes, but Jack now had Mr. Reynolds' number. The man couldn't count.
Right, just let me run through a few things. As a dealer, you never gamble. Not anywhere. We'll need your picture.
What for?
For the database. Can be accessed by every casino in the country. We have the same system for punters.
I don't gamble.
Ever?
I don't gamble, Mr. Reynolds.
Jack stares hard at Reynolds.
Next point. Friendships between croupiers inside or outside the casino are discouraged. Relationships with females working here are expressly forbidden.
We had the same rule in Sun City, but it was impossible to check.
Well, this isn't South Africa. We'd know because someone would report it. Believe me, someone always does.
Does know or does report?
What would happen if I knew something like that and didn't report it?
We'd know. There are no secrets in this casino. And you'd be punished.
How?
First offence, verbal warning. Second offence, written warning. That one's filed and sometimes copied to the gaming board. My discretion. Third offence, you'd be sacked on the spot. You'd never work in a casino in this country again. And there's another rule. You're forbidden to talk to or recognise a punter outside the casino. If you see someone that's gambled here, even if it's just casually on the street, you must ignore him. Or her. You're not married, are you?
He shakes his head.
Girlfriend?
Yeah.
She's not in the gaming business, is she?
No.
Good.
Reynolds leads Jack into a room with a wall of TV screens.
This is our crow's nest. I'm showing you it now, but you'll never see it again.
Very impressive.
Reynolds slides open a cupboard.
You have tapes here to go back 6 months?
Yeah.
Let me show you something.
Reynolds takes a tape and puts it into a video player. He presses a button and points to a picture of a roulette table from above.
See that?
Can I place your bet, please?
6 weeks ago. Dealer, mister. Guy up here, mister. I watch these tapes after hours. Nothing gets by me. Lady's in jail now. She says that they take £10 million from our bank to take one penny from this casino.
Reynolds' office.
Right. Well, as soon as you get your license, you can start.
Fine.
So, are you planning to make a career in casino work?
And end up like you?
I just want the job.
You're not the usual type we get in here, Jack.
Mr. Reynolds was right. It was true.
Excuse me.
Jack was up above the world.
Yep.
A writer looking down on his subject. A detached...
I can't talk about that just now.
Voyeur.
I'm with somebody. Well, they can wait. I'll be home at the usual time. Don't get married, Jack. Casino work doesn't mix with house and garden.
They shake hands.
Any questions?
Yeah, what's the salary?
In the dark, Jack drives a sports car.
The casino paid its staff monthly in arrears. He would have to wait 6 weeks for his first check. He needed money now.
So, what kind of deal are you looking for?
A garage.
What's the book price?
That's not relevant. Old car like this. Depends on the condition.
The car was a gift from Jack's father. That's to say, Jack Sr. had given it to him before the bailiffs arrived.
And this ain't exactly what you call mint.
The salesman inspects the car.
How about 1,500?
How about 500?
What?
How about we split the difference? 750.
Is that your idea of arithmetic?
I'm not a mathematician. I'm in business.
850.
750.
Jack takes the car keys from his pocket, looks at them.
He suddenly wanted to be rid of it. Hang on tightly, let go lightly.
He throws the keys to the salesman. Jack stands and sways in a crowded tube train, an unlit cigarette in his mouth.
Jack imagined people reading his book. One day he would get into their heads, play with their imaginations, test their feelings.
He walks along a rain-soaked street.
He would tell them, you have to make the choice in life. Be a gambler or a croupier.
He goes down the steps to the flat.
And then live with your decision, come what may.
He takes off his coat and hat.
Marion saw life differently. She was a romantic. And thought he was too.
Jack looks into the bedroom. On the bed is a black dress and some new lacy black underwear. He takes it into the bathroom and surprises Marion, an attractive woman with shoulder-length black hair, as she stands at the mirror.
I couldn't resist them.
You mean I won't resist them?
No. I'm not ready for you.
She pushes him gently out of the room.
There's some vodka in the freezer.
You want me drunk?
I won't take that long.
Marion closes the bedroom door. Jack goes to the freezer and pours a drink. He lights a candle in the living room. Marion looks at herself in the mirror. She wears a short black dress and a black scarf, which she arranges on her shoulders. Her makeup is immaculate. She smiles to herself.
Jack?
Jack turns his chair to face the door. Marion enters and stands in the doorway.
Wow. You really are a beautiful woman.
It's not just inner beauty, is it?
Turn around.
He watches her closely as she turns.
You're all I desire.
Jack takes an envelope from his pocket and holds it up. Marion comes slowly to him and sits on his knee. She takes a thick wad of money from the envelope.
Where did you get it?
Sold the car.
You shouldn't have done that. I know what it meant to you.
I owe you for the rent. It's only a car. I can get another.
Take it back.
No.
Till you sell your book.
Marion, let's face the truth. Nobody is going to publish it.
Of course they are. You just have to be patient.
Marion smiles and slides off her scarf.
I'm betting on you.
I'm not much of a bet.
You are to me.
She wraps the scarf around Jack's neck and stares into his eyes.
Come into my world.
She takes the scarf and blindfolds him with it, goes behind him and speaks into his ear.
You're my prisoner.
I've got something to tell you.
I want to hear it.
I've got a job.
She unwraps the scarf and kneels down beside him.
What job?
In a casino. As a croupier. Dealer.
How did you land that?
Came my way. $4.50 a week.
$4.50? What did you do, just walk in and say I want to be a croupier? Don't you need training?
I had training. In the Republic.
You were a croupier there? You never told me that. I thought you just knew some gamblers.
I start Monday week.
$4.50 a week? I've never earned that in my life.
He looks impassively into her eyes.
You're an enigma, you are. A fucking enigma.
Not an enigma. Just a contradiction.
You've sold the car. You've got a job. What's the third thing? Tell me.
There's no third thing. Don't be superstitious.
She takes his hand.
I love you, Jack. You know that.
And he half loved Marion. And she knew that too. Are you trying to read my poem?
She smiles and nods.
You've got such beautiful hands.
The hands of a conjurer, a woman told him once. Or a card shop.
A hairdresser's.
Do you work around here?
My office is in Shanghai.
What do you do?
I'm an arms dealer.
A manicurist does his fingernails.
So, what line of work are you in then?
I'm an undertaker.
Jack's hair is dyed black.
Really?
Jack looks into a mirror. He wears a dinner jacket and bow tie. He walks into the busy casino. Jack strides confidently into the croupier's area behind the tables and reports to the floor manager.
Jack Manfred, table 3.
Jack taps the shoulder of a blonde lady croupier, who smiles.
Can you have a new dealer? Thank you.
Usual bunch. They didn't know Jack, but he knew them.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
The gamblers look at him curiously.
Where's the other fellow? Where's Jeff?
Where's Jeff?
Jeff, he's been reassigned, sir.
Well, let's hope you learn to do your job.
In fives.
Change.
What aftershave are you using?
Never converse with the punters. Slows things down.
Money down.
Speed is volume. Volume is profit for the casino. Aim at 40 spins an hour.
Place your bets, please.
A blonde woman in a black dress and coat sits at the table. She puts equal stacks of chips on black and on red.
No more bets, thank you. 10 black.
Jack clears away the losing chips and puts a stack of chips against the woman's winning pile. She picks them up and leaves the table with exactly the same amount she sat down with. The other players follow her with their eyes.
The scam. Come in with $3,000 cash, no questions asked, launder it by getting a casino check when you cash in. Jack wondered why Mr. Reynolds permitted it. After all, there was no profit in it for the casino.
Place your bets, please.
Reynolds meets the woman at the cashier's.
Or was there?
Jack deals for blackjack. He wins every
30.
Hand.
Too many. 16. Too many. 15. Too many. 12. Too many. 11 double.
A large pile of chips on this hand.
21.
Jack turns over an ace.
Blackjack.
Jack has the perfect winning hand. Impassively, he takes the chips.
A wave of elation came over him. He was hooked again.
Place your bets, please.
Watching people lose.
A short, dark-haired dealer strolls up to the table and taps Jack's shoulder.
New dealer.
Evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Jack walks away.
Jack?
Reynolds comes up to him.
Good work. Keep it up.
Jack nods and leaves.
Colour change.
At the table, the young dealer glances at an older Greek man who faces him.
100. Place your bets, please.
In the changing room, Jack adjusts his tie and puts on his jacket. A petite young woman with short black hair comes out from behind some lockers. She wears black pants and a vest. She takes off the vest without embarrassment, puts on a bra, and slips into her croupier's uniform of a blue dress. Jack watches her in the mirror. She glances at him.
I'm Bella.
Jack Mackett.
Hi, Jack. Welcome to the cesspit.
Is it that bad?
Bella smiles and continues dressing. Jack smooths his hair and smokes a cigarette. Bella puts on a pair of spectacles and comes over to the mirror. She turns to him.
How do I look?
Like trouble, Bella.
You look fine.
Tits in a uniform. Punters love it.
Reynolds leads a well-dressed, middle-aged man into the casino. He holds a chair for him at Jack's table. The man hands a £50 note to a waitress.
Hey, here's your sir. Thank you, sir. Enjoy your game.
£50 for a Diet Coke. Waitresses were the true winners in the casino. The only members of staff allowed to accept tips.
Thank you, Jack. Enjoy yourself, Mr. Chai.
On a good night, they could get between £200 and £300.
Good evening, Mr. Chai.
Evening.
Bella takes the table.
Mr. Chai always loves to sit at that table. Normally with Bella.
Does he win?
He's a good customer.
A good customer is a consistent loser. But is that what he meant?
Jack changes in the locker room.
Where'd you live, Jack?
Over the river.
You got transport?
No.
I'm going over the river. I'll give you a lift if you like.
Nice one. Thanks.
The young dealer, Matt, closes his locker. They leave the room. A BMW saloon pulls up at a car park barrier. It lifts, and the car accelerates away into the dark streets.
So, how'd you feel your first night on the job? Bet you're on a high.
Jack smiles.
Nice car.
She's my baby.
So how long you worked at the casino?
Coming up to 2 years now. But I was away for 6 months.
Looks like you've done pretty well.
Not bad. I have other interests, of course. Listen, I'm off to a little watering hole. Have a few drinks, relax. Want to join me?
No, thanks. I'm going to go home. I need my 8 hours.
I bet you're 5-1 you won't get any sleep. You've got to unwind in this job, Jack. Or it'll kill you. I mean that.
Some other time.
In the flat, Jack drinks a vodka in the kitchen. He sits down with a bottle and takes a long drag on a cigarette. He pours another stiff drink. In the bedroom, Marion lies asleep. Jack sits on the bed and pulls his jumper over his head. She stirs slightly and Jack watches her.
What time is it?
No idea.
Jack takes off his T-shirt.
How did it go?
Yeah, fine.
She smiles and looks at him closely.
You're shaking.
She sits up.
What is it?
Oh, it's just tension. It'll go.
Poor baby. you.
She rubs his shoulders gently.
This will relax you.
Jack closes his eyes as she massages his head.
I loved it blonde.
Oh, look, it's only hair. I haven't changed.
He gets up and leaves. Marion, dressed in a dark skirt and jacket, leans over Jack asleep in bed.
When you come home, I'm asleep. When I leave home, you're asleep.
Mm.
Bye.
She leaves the bedroom.
I'll see you in my dreams.
She closes the bedroom door and goes to the writing table for her keys. Jack's manuscript and word processor lie untouched on the table as she opens the curtains. In the busy casino, an attractive woman with curly blonde hair in a black, low-cut evening dress walks down the stairs. She surveys the room and sits at Jack's roulette table. She takes money from her handbag.
$25.
Change.
Jack gives her a stack of chips.
$500. Money down. Place your bets, please.
2-6-13.
2-6-13.
Jack could see this woman was an experienced gambler. Professionals always place their bets through the croupier. That way, there are no comebacks.
1-5-16 and the neighbours.
1-5-16 and the neighbours. No more bets, thank you. 13 black.
He places a marker on the woman's winning chip. She looks on calmly as he sweeps away the losing chips and counts out her large stack of winnings.
$875.
A swarthy bearded man stands behind her seat.
Place your bets, please.
2-6-13. Orphans.
Orphans by 25, 125 the bet.
The orphans.
Orphans by 5.
1-5-16 and the neighbours.
1-5-16 and the neighbours. No more bets, thank you.
The bearded man puts down a chip.
34. No, I'm sorry, sir. That's a late bet.
What are you talking about? It's 34. I won with this lady.
No. You've won with the chips you placed earlier, but the bet on 34 was a late bet.
I put it on together.
I'm afraid that's not so, sir.
Now, look here,
Is there a problem?
Yes, this croupier is accusing me of cheating. Do you think I cheated?
He appeals to the blonde woman.
In my opinion, it was a late bet.
I think we should talk about this, sir. Away from the table.
No. I won. I want to be paid.
Pay the gentleman. In full. No.
Jack counts out chips and pushes them across the table. The swarthy, bearded man looks on nervously. He leaves with Reynolds.
You better talk in my office, son.
Why?
I paid you out this time. What I said, sir.
You bastard!
On your way, please, son.
The man makes a cutthroat gesture at Jack, who counts chips as the blonde woman coolly smokes her cigarette.
1,300.
She takes her chips and puts down 2 for Jack.
I'm sorry, madam, we're not allowed to accept gratuities in the UK. It's different in South Africa.
You know where I'm from?
I've lived there.
Well, thank you anyway.
Bright woman, he thought. She knew the rule of gold.
Place your bets, please.
Quit when you're ahead.
Gamblers begin to leave the smoky casino gaming room. Jack writes notes on a clipboard and glances across the room to where the young dealer, Matt, is counting out chips. Jack's brow furrows and he looks up at the closed-circuit TV camera. Matt pushes a stack of chips to the Greek man, who gets up and leaves. After work, Jack is a passenger in Matt's BMW.
Matt, listen, there's something I've got to say to you. I saw you cheating.
The fuck are you talking about?
That Greek guy at the end. You paid him out in 25s, not 10s.
Hey, you got it wrong, Jack. I don't cheat.
I'm not going to report it.
Matt looks at him, then pulls the car over to the side of the road.
What are you, a fucking cop?
But if I see you doing it again, I will.
I don't get you. Even if it was true, which it isn't, what the fuck difference would it make to you?
Because if a supervisor knew that I'd seen it and I didn't report it, then I'd lose my job, and I can't afford that.
Oh, so it's Mr. Clean. Wise up, Jack. This whole business is bent. The casino's nothing but legal theft, and that's OK. It's the system. Half the punters who come in here are using stolen money, drugs money. They haven't even earned it. We earn our money. Look, I'm on your side, Jack. I don't need an enemy.
You're talking about complicity.
I don't even know what that means. I'm talking about not rocking the boat.
Matt was an escape artist.
Matt offers Jack his hand.
Like Jack's father.
Okay. Now, let's unwind.
Jack shakes hands and Matt turns the car into a narrow, darkened street. He parks and they enter a restaurant kitchen. They walk past the chefs and Matt hugs the Greek man to whom he gave the wrong chips.
Hey, Andros.
Yes, Willem.
This is Jack.
Hello.
How you doing?
They walk through the nearly empty restaurant where the waiters tidy up and go into a crowded, smoky back room. They lean on the bar.
Blackjack.
One blackjack, and
drink?
Vodka, straight, on the rolls.
A girl stares at Jack.
Who are these guys?
A few drug dealers, mostly people that work in the casino business.
Jack looks around as the girl continues to show interest in him.
And the girls?
Just girls.
Blackjack. And vodka, straight.
Does Bella come in?
The bitch. No.
Matt, you want in?
Yeah, why not?
Matt leaves Jack and goes to a card table.
Jack, join us?
No, thanks.
I won't report you.
I don't gamble.
The girl approaches Jack.
You don't gamble, but do you smoke?
Sometimes.
How about now?
She drags on a large joint. Jack finishes his drink and turns to the barman.
Same again, yeah?
Coming up.
Jack goes into the gents. He passes two men doing a drug deal and heads towards a cubicle. Inside it, a girl rocks up and down on the bare lap of a man who leans back, eyes closed.
Marion, I'm on my way.
Jack emerges from the gents and sits beside Matt at the card table.
All right, lads, get me up.
Listen, I'm going to get off. I need to sleep.
Loosen up, Jack. If you don't, this job will get to you. Pressure's too much, believe me. It'll break you.
The world breaks everyone. And afterwards, many are strong at the broken places.
Matt shakes his head.
Ernest Hemingway.
He slaps Matt on the back and leaves.
Wasn't he the one who shot himself?
Aye. Jack descends the steps to the flat. Carefully, he unlocks the door and goes in. He pauses to listen. Looks into the bedroom and crosses the darkened living room to slump into a chair as he takes off his jacket. A light comes on. Marion sits in her white silk pyjamas in an armchair.
Where have you been? I've got to give evidence in court at 9.
Don't play the police woman with me, Marion.
She throws a cushion at him.
Take that back! Fucking take that back!
Yeah, I take it back. You're not in the police anymore. You're a store detective.
Are you drunk?
Probably.
This fucking job's getting to you. You haven't written a fucking word since it started.
You have to swear all the time.
Well, that's my poor upbringing. I didn't go to private school. I haven't got any class. I want to live with a writer, not a fucking croupier. I don't even know what the word means. Croupier.
Marion, stop this.
What do I mean to you? I want to know. Tell me.
You're my conscience.
Haven't you got a conscience of your own?
Jack gets up and takes his shoes and jacket into the bedroom. Daylight through the bars of the flat window as Jack practices his dealing. He fumbles a card and hurts his fingers on the table.
Fuck the shit.
He looks through the window, which streams with rain. Pedestrians pass by on the street above. Evening. Jack climbs slowly out of an underground station into the brightly lit streets of London. He wears his overcoat and hat. He enters a department store and walks through the shop. His eyes search until he spots Marion at a perfume counter. She looks around, then walks to an escalator, and he catches her up.
Fancy a drink after work?
What are you doing here? You know the rules. I don't finish till 9.
Shit. I'm on at 9.
It's our life now, isn't it?
Marion walks away at the bottom of the escalator. Jet watches her go and goes back up the escalator. He looks after Marion helplessly. In a bright shopping mall, Jack stops outside a travel agent's. He reads a poster for flights to Cape Town. The blonde South African woman from the casino comes up behind him.
Thinking of going back?
Oh my God, hello.
She smiles broadly.
You know what? I'd like to buy you a drink.
It's against the rules. Dealers are forbidden to talk to punters.
What are the odds of you being seen with me?
Impossible to calculate.
With drinks in a plush lounge.
It's a coincidence.
You know there's a casino in this hotel.
I'm not really much of a gambler. I just like this bar.
First visit to London?
No, I come every couple of years. I always plan to stay, but I'm from Cape Town originally.
I was born in the Transkei, on the Wild Coast.
Near the casino?
In the casino.
Now there's a coincidence. My father used to gamble there.
Your father?
I loved the atmosphere, but it destroyed my mother.
The debts?
And the lies. Gamblers are born liars.
And superstitious, too. It's like witchcraft.
That's Africa. There's an African in all of us, isn't there?
We all came from Africa, supposedly.
Do you believe in astrology?
Absolutely not. But then I'm a Gemini, and Geminis don't believe in astrology.
You know, you don't strike me as a typical croupier.
Jack glances at a ring on her third finger.
Ah, I'm not married. I just wear it to keep the flies off. Look, I have to go. Let me pay for this.
Absolutely not.
Toss you for it.
I don't gamble.
She smiles and reaches in her handbag.
I know this is verboten. But if you feel like a chat, or maybe dinner, give me a call.
She writes her number on a piece of paper.
I'll understand if you don't, but I hope that you do.
Jack smiles at her and she gets up and leaves. Jack is in front of his bathroom mirror.
Jack started to dress for the casino at home, a man in love with his uniform. Like a musician in his tuxedo going to the concert hall on public transport. Eager to perform.
A crowd of men and women gamblers reach to place bets on the roulette table.
No more bets, thank you. 19 red.
A bold older man coughs all over the table and the chips.
The croupier registered disgust. This gentleman has accidentally coughed on the chips. The writer made a note.
Agnes.
Good scene for the book.
Take these chips off the table for me.
Jack and Bella count money on the table.
Don't worry about it.
Bella, wrapped in a coat against the cold wind, walks to the car park. She looks back towards the casino.
See
you,
Jack.
Yeah, see you.
Jack comes from the casino into the dark street.
Jack, do you want a lift?
No, I'm okay, thanks. Maybe some other time, yeah?
I'll take you up on that.
Bella turns away into the car park. Jack walks off. The swarthy bearded man comes out of a side alley.
Hey, you don't recognize me? You had me barred, you fucking little worm.
If I remember rightly, you got yourself barred.
No, it was you, you shit.
He grabs Jack by the jacket and knees him. Jack hits him in the face and pushes him into some large dustbins. They roll on the ground as Bella drives out of the car park. Jack lands a good punch and the man slumps to the pavement. Jack is caught in the headlights as he kneels over the man and punches him hard. Bella stops the car alongside them and opens the passenger door.
Jack!
Jack punches the helpless man again and again. He stands up slowly, takes a look at the man on the ground, then goes back and stamps on him.
Jack!
Jack gets into the car and Bella drives off.
He won't see it again.
In Bella's flat, she brings a bowl of water and a cloth to Jack, who sits and smokes a cigarette. His face is bloody. She kneels in front of him and switches on a light.
You're shaking.
It's nothing, Hazel. It's just tension.
She tries to wipe his face, but he stops her. He takes off his jacket.
Oh! Fuck!
He grimaces with pain as he unbuttons his shirt to reveal a bloody wound on his shoulder. As Bella gets up, Jack grabs her and kisses her fiercely. She falls backwards onto the floor and he lies on top of her. She responds with passion.
It's funny, isn't it? If that bloke hadn't have come over, you wouldn't be here now.
Bella wears his jacket as she sits in bed and smokes a joint.
I hate cheats.
Jack shares the joint.
All men are cheats.
Aren't they?
Fools. I spent a year on the game. Don't worry. I'm clean as a whistle. Only did S&M. No blowjobs, no screwing.
Why did you stop?
I got scared.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Can you?
Jack gets up from the bed.
Anyway, I'm happy being a dealer now. At least the punters keep their hands to themselves, even if the other dealers don't.
You called the casino a cesspit.
Well, it is. But at least I know where I am.
She takes off his jacket.
I've been watching you work. You're good. Too fucking good for that place.
He puts his jacket on.
I despise the job.
If you hate it so much, why'd you do it?
Jack suddenly had the feeling that he was transparent, that Bella could see right through him.
You've got a guilty look.
We broke the rules. Shit, he hadn't meant to say that. She caught him unawares.
You're certainly different from the others.
Careful. This liaison forbidden in the casino family was incest.
Not like Matt, you mean?
Oh, there's a real shit. Don't get friendly with him. Do you know what he said to me once? I want to fuck the whole world over. That's my mission. Stupid little shit.
Thank you, Bella.
He gets up and kisses Bella tenderly.
Jack could hear Matt saying it. I want to fuck the whole world over. It's my mission.
Jack at his word processor.
Eureka. Jack had struck gold. He'd found a protagonist for his book. Little Matt.
The Casino.
Chapter 1.
I look like shit.
Rough day.
Rough life, Jack. Rough life.
A tall, blonde woman comes into the changing room. Jack and Matt turn.
Hi, I'm Pat.
Hello.
See you, boys.
What happened to Bella?
I'll tell you later.
Mr. Chai, at Jack's blackjack table, passes a packet of money to him.
5,000.
What has happened to Bella?
What's happened to Bella?
She's been reassigned.
Not reassigned, just written out of the story.
Good evening.
The South African woman sits down.
Hundreds.
Change. 1,000.
Now this was no coincidence.
Jack deals to the players. The South African woman, Yani, plays anxiously. She loses.
15. Too many. 20. 18, 19, 17, 19.
Did she think he'd bring her luck?
Jack glances at her.
Anything to you? 14.
Why had she come?
Too many.
Did she want him to help her win?
11 double. 21. 18, 17, 17, 13, 20.
Jack collects the chips. The woman nervously passes him more money.
He knew how to fix it for her.
1,000.
His father had taught him the trade. The casino wouldn't spot it, but Jack was wary of the punters.
11 double.
He could see Mr. Chai was counting. He couldn't risk it.
Mr. Chai watches the game closely.
12. 20. 18. 18. 17. 19.
She wasn't wearing her ring. Odds on, she'd sold it.
Yanni loses. Picks up her cigarettes and bag. She gets up to go.
Thank you. Good night.
Goodbye.
Thank you, she said. For what, Jack thought. He ought to thank her.
Pretty woman.
Gianni de Villiers had just entered his book.
Place your bets, please.
Jack sits in the bedroom of the flat. He sews his jacket. In the living room, Marion is reading the manuscript of his novel.
Yeah.
How's it going, Jacko?
Fine. I took that job.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was wondering what was happening.
Yeah, well, I tried to call you, but they said your line was disconnected.
Ah, yes. I moved house. I needed a bigger place.
How's that book of yours coming on?
Yeah. I'm getting there.
Well, it's a good job you got the job to fall back on, isn't it?
Huh? Oh, there's my other line. Ciao.
Jack smiles as he puts the phone down. Marion finishes reading. Jack stands in the doorway. She sits cross-legged in an armchair.
I don't like it.
Why not?
I don't like it at all. You had a wonderful character before. The gambler, he was so romantic.
He was a loser. This guy's a croupier. He can't lose. People have shat on him all his life and now he's in control. He's a winner.
Is that your idea of a winner? He couldn't give a shit about anyone. He uses people.
It's because of the sex, isn't it? You don't like the sex in it.
I couldn't give a fuck about the sex. Most men will fuck a lamppost. He's just a miserable zombie. Is that the way you feel now? Is that what's happened to you?
Marion, it's a book.
Really? Then why is he called Jake? Why don't you come clean and call him Jack? There's no hope in it.
It's the truth.
Without hope, there's no point to anything.
What is so fucking hopeful about your job? Spending the day catching poor people, stealing. You said yourself the organised gangs get away with it. At least in the casino, everyone gets caught. Rich or poor, the odds are the same. It's all relative.
Crap, it is not relative. It's unfair. It's designed unfair, like your casino, and your croupier is a little shit because he goes along with it.
Yeah?
Jack grabs her bag.
What about the lottery? Look at this. You're just like all the other suckers out there. 14.5 million to one. Is that your idea of hope?
Adore, Jack.
Leave it.
No, answer it.
Jack puts the lottery ticket down. He opens the front door and switches on a light. Bella sits on the outside steps, arms folded.
Just call round to say thanks for shopping me, Jack.
Jack closes the door behind him.
What are you talking about?
Reynolds got a doctor in. They forced me to do a dope test, which was positive, as you knew.
I don't know anything about it.
Marion comes out.
Hiya.
Hi.
Your boyfriend fucked me, smoked my dope and then shot me. What do you think about that? I can't get a job now. You're no different from Matt. Pair of vicious little shits, that's what you are.
Bella, I don't know anything about this.
All men are scumbags.
I agree.
Bella comes to Jack and kisses him full on lips. She leaves. Jack takes a few steps after her.
Go on. Go after her.
Marion goes inside and turns out the light.
He was Jack, and he was Jake. And he had discovered there was a price to pay for this double life of his. He had no idea where Marion was staying, or with whom. He realized he knew little about her life, but then he had never asked about it.
Jack waits outside the staff entrance of Marion's door. She comes out and is met by a burly man in a suit and tie, who kisses her affectionately.
For the first time in a long while, Jack thought about his mother. She'd left when she couldn't take it anymore. His father had said, "Don't worry, Jacko, she'll come back." She didn't. But Marion wasn't his mother.
Jack and Reynolds at the TV screens.
He's paying out in 25s, not 10s.
See that?
Reynolds looks closely.
Little shit, Matt.
Chapter 3. His existence was forming an interesting pattern of betrayals. Sometimes he was unsure whether he was the betrayer or the betrayed.
Thanks for the information.
Pleasure. Pity about Bella.
She was a real asset. What could I do?
Jack takes out a cigarette.
Sorry, Jack. No smoking in the nest.
Jack is browsing in a large bookshop. He chooses a book and goes to the sales counter.
Ah, thank you, sir.
Giles, the publisher.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. Just down the side. Jack? I thought it was you. It's the hair.
Listen, I'm working on that soccer story.
Right. Look, I must get back to Habib.
Habib?
He's my author. He's a terrorist. He's written a kill and tell book. Take care.
Giles turns away, but pauses.
That's $4.99, sir. Thank you. Jack? Look, next weekend, I'm having a house party. Here.
His business card.
It's just near Oxford. Why don't you come? It'll just be social, no business. Bring a friend. Got plenty of room.
I'll try and make it.
Good. Looking forward.
Jack smiles.
Right.
Giles goes back to his author at a signing table.
Babe,
you'll change this.
Thanks.
Jack looks round the tables and shelves full of books.
Books piled like chips. Stack 'em high, sell 'em fast, make a killing. No dumb soccer novel for Jack. He would write about the world he knew from the inside.
Car headlights illuminate a country road.
Chapter 4.
In the car, Jack switches on a light and tries to read a map. He looks across at Yarni, who wears dark glasses as she drives. Her hand is bandaged.
I don't know how you can drive at night in those glasses. How'd you hurt your hand?
No, it was just an accident. It's nothing.
Should be the next on the right.
Jack switches off the light and looks at her.
Yanni, there's something I want to say before we get there. I don't know what the sleeping arrangements are. Giles probably expects us to share a room.
Yeah, that's fine.
Unperturbed, Yanni drives the sports car through a stone archway and into the courtyard of a country house. She stops the car and puts a hand on Jack's shoulder as he opens the door.
Look. It's no use pretending it was an accident. I had a fight with someone. That's all.
Yarni removes her dark glasses to reveal a black eye. A floodlit tennis game is in progress. Giles and Jack watch as Yarni runs up and down with energetic determination.
She's a dab hand with the racket, your friend.
South African women are very sporty.
So I see.
Yarni in tennis skirt and sweater serves powerfully.
Nice, sir.
40-50.
How did you get that shiner?
I found her in bed with someone.
Who was he? She.
Giles smiles in admiration.
I say, you're a dark horse, Jack.
In the living room, Giles switches on a lamp.
Come on, Jack.
Jack sits alone.
Don't be a spoil sport. It's only a few quid.
It's nothing to do with money. I don't gamble.
He doesn't gamble.
The guests are seated around a card table. Jack goes to the table and sits beside a young man.
I'll watch.
Jack likes to watch. Does he like to watch?
One more remark like that, and I'll break your balls.
Yanni stares at the young man.
I bet you could, too.
I'll deal, but I won't play.
You sure you know how?
Jack stares at him.
The hands of a conjurer.
He lays the cards out skillfully.
Or a card sharp.
The young man watches uneasily as Jack shuffles and arranges the pack with the ease of an expert. He squares the pack to be cut. The young man looks at Jack warily. Jack deals cards across the table to all the players.
Okay. Last hand.
I've got an idea.
No, what? No stripping.
Right, we're not having that again. Although...
I'll stick to bluffing. That's what I'm best at.
Jack silently predicts the game.
Stick.
I'll stick.
I don't know.
Two cards.
Two cards.
Two cards.
Two cards.
One card.
One card.
Three cards.
Three.
The betting begins.
I'll start with...
a tenner.
I'll see your 10 and I'll raise you 10. I'll see your 20 and raise you 10.
Raise 10.
40. Raise you by 20.
I'll match that and raise you a tenner.
One of the young women anxiously picks up her money.
I'm in.
Yes. That's it. I haven't got any more cash.
Yep. I call.
See you.
The young man lays down his cards in triumph.
A straight. Beat that.
A flush.
Oh, shit.
Not so fast, darling. A full house.
Oh, hang on, chaps. What? That's impossible.
Well, how's about this for impossible? Four of a kind.
No. What's going on?
No.
Straight flush.
Oh.
What are the odds of this happening?
Thousands to one.
42,300,000 to one.
Approximately.
Could have won if I'd been able to bluff.
Giles stares coldly at Jack.
I get it.
Get what? Are you accusing me of cheating?
Good God, no. With a skill like that, what do you want a job for? You don't need to work.
In a bedroom, Jack gets into his pyjamas.
Here was an interesting question. Was writing work or play?
Yanni comes out of the shower naked.
What happened?
Remember that guy who cheated at the table?
You don't like cheats, do you?
She touches his bruised chest, then puts on a black low-cut nightdress over her mop of curly hair. He throws his clothes onto a chest. She turns to Jack and smiles.
So, which side do you like?
You choose.
She smiles coyly and then walks slowly over to the four-poster bed. She glances at him, then climbs under the covers and Jack follows her. They lie side by side.
That trick tonight. I don't think I've ever seen that done before.
Oh, it can only work with amateurs. A pro would have spotted it.
I didn't.
Then you're not a pro.
She smiles wryly and leans across him to switch off the light.
Good night.
Jack is asleep. Yanni sits up in bed in the darkened room.
Jack.
She shakes him.
Jack, I need your help. I'm in a lot of trouble.
He turns to face her.
What kind of trouble?
I owe a lot of money.
Was that why you did that $2,000? I couldn't help you.
I know that. But you can now.
I'm sorry, I don't have any money.
Some people I know. They're planning to rob the Golden Lion.
Jack switches on the light.
You don't mean that.
They mean it.
Who's they?
My creditors. One night, around 3 a.m, they'll come into the casino.
Forget it, Yanni. It will never work.
Jack gets up. Yanni kneels on the bed.
The point is, they want a man inside.
And I took you for a bright woman.
Just listen. You don't have to do anything criminal.
Robbery's not criminal.
You don't have to be criminal. A guy will come up to your table and deliberately cheat. You'll see him, stop him. The guy will make a big scene, there'll be chaos, and that's when it'll happen.
Jack comes from the bathroom.
You're serious?
You won't be committing a crime. The man will cheat. You'll just be doing your job, that's all.
Shit. and I thought you were only after my body.
Jack lights a cigarette.
I've come to know you. You're honest. I can trust you.
So what will you do when it all goes wrong?
It won't.
But if it does?
You'll keep the £10,000.
Jack stares at her through a cigarette smoke.
What £10,000?
These people will pay you £10,000 before and £10,000 after. They want someone they can be sure of. An honest dealer. That's the point. Not all dealers are honest. Mr. Reynolds will never suspect you.
Reynolds? You've done your research.
There was nothing else I could do. You're my last chance.
She holds her bandaged hand.
Next time, it'll be my neck.
What about my neck?
I want to go back to Cape Town. I want to start again, clean.
Jack shakes his head.
Can't do it, Yanni.
I'm asking you as a friend. You'd be saving the life of a friend.
She turns her back to him and switches off the lamp. Jack continues to smoke in the dark. A bedroom door opens and Jack, in his pyjamas, makes his way along a dark corridor wearing his hat. He goes past other bedrooms and descends the stairs past a gloomy copy of a painting depicting the raft of the Medusa. He goes to the fridge in the kitchen.
Jack wondered why he was even considering it. £10,000 in cash. That was why. But Jack didn't need the money. His father would have taken it like a shot, but his father was a gambler. He was always broke.
Jack pours a drink.
Jack suddenly realised. It was Jake who was considering it.
In bed, Jack turns to Yanni.
How much do you owe?
Let it go.
Jack turns away to face the moonlight and turns back to her again.
Did they tell you to sleep with me?
I told you, all bets are off.
Jack settles again. In the morning, Yanni, dressed in a dark coat, bends over Jack as he sleeps. She kisses him.
I'm sorry.
What for?
I have to take the car.
Jack watches her leave and pulls the bedclothes round his shoulders as he goes back to sleep.
Hang on tightly, let go lightly. Chapter 5.
Jack writes at the kitchen table and drinks a cup of coffee. Giles comes into the kitchen in his dressing gown and dumps the morning paper on the table.
Good night.
Not particularly.
And your lady?
She had to leave early. She asked me to thank you.
Bit unexpected, wasn't it?
Not really, no.
Giles looks over Jack's shoulder.
How's that soccer story coming along?
You said it was going to be social, Giles. No business.
He was overcome with a sense of urgency. He had to get it down, get on with the writing.
Jack lets himself into his flat, switches on the word processor, and goes to the freezer in the kitchen. He finds a jewellery gift box. He unwraps it to reveal a small gold book on a chain. He looks towards the bedroom as he holds it up and examines it slowly. In bed, he finds Marion asleep and kisses her tenderly.
It's beautiful, thank you.
Marion stirs and faces him.
I hope it brings you luck.
It will.
I haven't brought you much luck, have I?
Marion, that girl worked at the casino.
Oh, I don't care about her. I was wrong what I said about the book. I hurt you, didn't I?
He bends to kiss her softly.
I'm going to leave the casino soon, I promise.
You will?
Within a month. Believe me, I'm going to quit.
Then you can dye your hair blonde again.
She smiles broadly and they kiss passionately. Jack types at his word processor as the rain streams down the window.
Nobody around. Leave a message after the beep.
I need to see you. I've moved. I have a new number. It's 475-3275. Please call me.
Chapter 7. Jake had decided to see her. The challenge was essential.
Jack, in his evening suit, goes to a hotel room. Yarni lets him in. She wears a vest and pyjama bottoms.
Come in.
He walks into the small room and she closes the door.
It's not the Ritz, I'm afraid.
Jack stands motionless by the wall.
Is it yes?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yarni sighs, goes to a bag and takes out bundles of notes. She gives them to him.
Doesn't seem fair. You're offering me 10 grand in cash. You can't afford a decent place.
Life's not fair. We both know that.
It's all relative. I need money too.
Do you?
Yes.
Look, the date's not set yet, but I'll call you. One last thing. The man you're going to catch cheating, he may get violent. But you know how to deal with cheats.
The faintest of smiles from Jack.
That bruise has cleared up nicely.
Bruise? Yes, yes, it's better.
I've still got mine. And your hand too.
I took the bandage off yesterday. You want a drink?
No, thank you. I don't think we should meet again.
It's a shame there aren't more men in the world like you.
Jack goes over to her and kisses her full on the mouth. She returns the kiss and watches sadly as he leaves the room. He opens a glass door marked Journey's End Hotel and goes into the street.
Question. Was he gambling taking Yanni's money? Answer. No. Because he wasn't betting with his own money. He was being paid in advance for a service.
In the casino, Jack spins the wheel.
In reality, there were two clear elements of risk in this exchange. One, the possibility the cash was counterfeit. Two, the possibility Yanni or her creditors would want the money back if the plan failed. To begin with, he put the odds at 2 against 7-4. He checked a random selection of bills at the bank. They were all good.
Bring me some luck, darling.
So now his odds were decidedly better. He put them at 8-1. The fact that the notes were good gave him one less negative, 2-1. At the same time, mathematically, he had one more positive, 7+1. Next stage. He had to be secure at 8-1 against having to give the money back, so he wouldn't spend it. If after 1 month no one had approached him, he calculated the odds of keeping it at 20-1.
No more bets, thank you.
A very nervous man puts a chip down.
After 3 months, he figured 100-1 no one would turn up.
The nervous man has his eyes closed in prayer.
36 red.
Jack looks at the sweating nervous man who has lost. Jack gives him some chips.
£80.
The man cannot believe it. He mouths a thank you and leaves with his money. An older lady gives Jack her chips.
Cash me.
I made a little drink to celebrate.
Jack watches as the man walks towards the exit. He stops by the last table, hesitates, and finally places a bet with the chips Jack gave him.
Jake's experiment with the man would prove his point. People don't change.
In the flat, Marion dries dishes. She drops one and bends to pick up the pieces. She notices something stashed behind the kitchen units and squats on the floor to look closely. Awkwardly, she fumbles around and drags out a package wrapped in kitchen foil. She opens it to reveal a large wad of banknotes.
Money down.
Chapter 10.
He watched their faces as they lost, hour after hour, night after night, relentlessly. He questioned the conventional wisdom that gamblers are self-destructive. He had come to believe that in reality they want to destroy everyone else. Their families, loved ones, everyone. Fuck over the whole world. Without emotion, he watched them go. Jake stayed.
Marion brushes her teeth in the flat's bathroom.
Nobody around. Leave a message.
It's set. The day after tomorrow, the 24th. Good luck.
Grimly, Marion walks to the answer phone and pushes a button. She presses the erase button. Jack types as Marion watches.
Have you ever tempted to gamble?
Never. Why do you ask?
I can just imagine being around so much money all the time.
Gambling's not about money.
Really?
Gambling's about not facing reality, ignoring the odds.
I must be a fool. I never think about the odds.
Jack stands in a tube train crowded with people. They throw streamers and hold balloons as they sing. In the casino, he puts on a paper party hat.
Chapter 12.
Reynolds wears a red Father Christmas outfit. He watches the money being collected from under a table as he strolls around the busy gaming room. Jack deals to Mr. Chai and some Chinese friends. Mr. Chai takes out a wad of money.
Change. 2,500.
Jack counts Mr. Chai's money.
Money down.
Two dark-haired men in smart suits enter the casino. Mr. Chai beckons his bodyguard, who brings a fat parcel to the table. Jack watches impassively as Mr. Chai weighs the parcel in his hand. The two dark men at the bar look around furtively. A money box is carried into the cashier's office by casino staff.
75.
Jack takes over at a roulette table.
New dealer.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Reynolds takes a phone call. One of the men in suits hovers at Jack's table.
18, 17, 12. 17, 20. No more cards. 17.
Reynolds leaves. The other man gets up and follows.
Place your bets, please.
The dark-suited man sits at Jack's table and asks for change.
50. Intense.
Change. £50.
The man places chips on the table.
Money down. No more bets, thank you.
Reynolds meets two men on the entrance stairs. The wheel spins. As it stops, the dark man at Jack's table puts a chip onto the winning square.
23 red. No, I'm sorry, sir. That was a late bet.
You calling me a cheat? You are a cheat. I saw you.
The dark man pushes Jack down.
I'm talking to you.
It was a...
The man leaps on the table and as Jack rises, punches him to the floor again. He follows Jack and kicks him viciously in the body. The crowd scatters. Mr. Chai's bodyguard grabs the man and knees him. His accomplice appears, held in an arm lock by a plainclothes policeman. Jack rolls on the floor in agony.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be calm. There's no cause for alarm. Enjoy yourselves, it's Christmas.
Marion comes through the white curtains surrounding a hospital bed. She carries a bottle of wine, two glasses, and a paper carrier bag. She smiles as Jack looks at her in surprise.
How did you know I was here?
I thought you wouldn't want to spend Christmas Day alone in here.
She pours the wine.
Did you go to the casino?
She smiles mysteriously and comes round the bed with the wine. She gives him a glass.
Happy Christmas. Now.
She takes foil cartons from the bag.
Noodles or rice?
She opens the cartons and smiles at him from the foot of the bed.
I don't want a criminal for a boyfriend.
There was a message, wasn't there?
It's probably easier for you to eat the rice.
Marion. What did you tell the police?
Nothing about you.
But then what?
Give up being a croupier, Jack, or I'll shop you. All you have to do is keep your promise. That's simple. Here. Use a spoon.
Leave me alone, Marion!
He throws the carton.
You're already alone.
She leaves through the curtains.
Look, Marion! Marion!
She returns and faces him calmly.
Come here. Come here, listen. I really don't want to lose you. I'll quit. I swear to you.
He winces with pain as he stretches to kiss her. She returns his kiss coldly.
Why did you take the money?
I hate public transport.
What?
I want to buy a car.
How can anyone be that naive?
So?
Reynolds' office.
How are you feeling?
Bruised.
I just take as long as you like. A couple of weeks, three if you need it. We'll pay you sick leave. Don't want to lose you, Jack. You're a good man.
Reynolds hands Jack an envelope.
What's this?
Happy New Year.
Jack takes out a cheque.
Have a drink in the company. You've earned it.
Chapter 13.
Black letters on the blue screen of Jack's laptop computer.
It's all numbers, the croupier thought. Spin of the wheel, turn of the card, time of your life, date of your birth, year of your death. In the book of numbers, the Lord said, "Thou shalt count thy steps." Jack thought, this is it. The famous 2 a.m. knock at the door. It was payback time. But he wasn't afraid. He hadn't spent one penny of the 10 grand. He'd covered himself. He knew the odds.
Mr. Manfred?
A policeman turns to face Jack. In a white-tiled mortuary, a sheet is lifted back to reveal the dead body of Marion. Jack stares numbly at her as a smartly dressed, well-built man enters the room. He is the man who met Marion when she left Jack. He stands at the foot of the mortuary table.
She was on her way home. To you.
No, she wasn't. Marion had been visiting his mother. No, 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 not his mother. Her mother.
Her mother. She was visiting her mother.
Who are you?
Detective Inspector Ross.
Who?
Ross.
Who did it? Tell me.
We think it's a hit and run. A drunk driver, probably. There is the possibility of a revenge killing.
Revenge? For what? Whose revenge?
As you know, she was a WPC with a Met. Up until 2 years ago. She called me last week. She'd got wind of a planned robbery at your casino.
What had that got to do with her death?
You didn't recognise the man who attacked you, did you?
Of course I fucking recognised him.
You did?
I know a cheat when I see one. The man was a cheat.
Jack covers up Marion's body and turns to go.
if anything occurs to you, call me, will you?
Do you gamble?
I was in love with her, you know.
Jack walks slowly down a street.
The world breaks everyone. And afterwards, many are strong at the broken places. But those that will not break, it kills. It kills the very good and the very gentle and the very brave impartially. If you are none of these, you can be sure it will kill you too. But there will be no special hurry.
A New Year's celebration in the noisy Greek restaurant. Crockery is broken on the floor for the circle of dancers to tread on. The tables and dance floor are crowded. A couple kiss in a corner. Jack, in his croupier's suit, is slumped at a table, an empty bottle in front of him, as Matt is pushed against him by a woman reveller in a red mini-dress.
Jacko!
How you doing?
I heard what happened in the casino. It's a pity they didn't get away with it. I wish I'd been there.
You were there, Matt.
What? Yeah, you know what happened to me, don't you? That bitch Bella. Bitch Bella shot me, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to beat the shit out of her.
You know what I'd like, Matt? I'd like to buy you a drink.
Cheers! Congratulations, Happy New Year! I like you, Jacko, you're so fucking straight. Hey, never change your clothes.
The restaurant is nearly empty. A beautiful black woman comes over to Jack.
The music stopped. Jack was drunk, hallucinating. He was back, a child in the Wild Coast Casino.
You've been avoiding me.
She sits down beside him.
Have I?
I'm Lucy.
So what do you do, Lucy?
I'm a witch. A white witch.
Are you going to put a spell on me?
I might.
They leave the restaurant arm in arm.
That's mine.
She points to her sports car.
Fucking hell.
The car Jack sold.
That's a nice car. How much did you pay for it?
Too much. 1800.
Lucy drives the car through the dark. Jack nods drunkenly in the front passenger seat. A girl with a balloon steps unsteadily out in front of them. Jack grabs the wheel and the car swerves past her.
Hey! I saw her! You don't trust women drivers, do you?
Jack didn't trust anyone. Except himself.
Jack at his computer pours himself a drink and prints his novel.
It was finally finished. He thought of sending it to Giles, but that wouldn't be right. He would select a publisher at random, like a number.
The title page. I, Croupier, a novel. To Marion. Jack deals the blackjack cards in the casino.
21, 19, 30, 20, 16, 20. Blackjack.
All of the gamblers lose to him. A young man opens his wallet.
You're wasting yourself. With your luck, you ought to come over to our side.
A bookshop window completely stacked with the red dust jackets of I, Croupier by Anonymous.
Even his publisher had no idea who the author was. He had done the deal through a lawyer. It gave him a good feeling, no one knowing. It never occurred to anyone at the casino that the Golden Lion had been his model. Why should it? Weren't all casinos the same?
A woman reads his book on the tube.
It gave him an exquisite pleasure being an underground man. With all his money, he hadn't even bought a car. Jack knew the truth about himself. He was a one-book writer. A one-time winner who had quit while he was ahead. He changed nothing in the flat, bought nothing, spent nothing. The only thing he did was to remove the bars outside the window.
Nobody around. Leave a message after the beep.
Jack hurries into the flat, switches on the light and picks up the phone.
Hello?
Jack, it's Yanni.
Yanni?
Where are you?
Sun City. I've been meaning to call you for months.
So how are you doing?
Great. Listen, I'm getting married. At least I think I am.
Did you solve your problems?
Yeah. I'm all over that now. Jack, hold on a minute. There's someone here who wants to talk to you.
Jacko.
Dad.
I never thanked you properly
for your help. Yanni tells me that you behaved like the perfect gentleman. I knew you would.
I know my son. The woman thinks I'm
going to marry her. But you know me. Well, it's a shame that things never worked out, but we saw you all right.
You didn't gamble the 10 grand, did you?
As a matter of fact, I did. But I won.
That's my boy. How's that novel of yours come?
So that was it. Final card. Blackjack.
Jack pours a drink.
His father, 8,000 miles and 27 years away, was still dealing to his son Jack from the bottom of the deck.
Jack smiles wryly.
But Jake, the croupier, had a sense of humour.
Jack sits down on the kitchen floor.
Here's to you. To both of you.
From the bedroom behind him, in black pyjamas, Bella appears and kneels down beside him.
Who's that on the phone?
A couple I know are getting married.
Fools.
She leans towards Jack and they kiss tenderly. In slow motion, a wall of faces around a roulette table. Hands place bets feverishly.
Now, he had reached the point where he no longer heard the sound of the ball. The spin of the wheel had brought him home to the place where he was born. The croupier's mission was accomplished.
Dismay as zero comes up.
He was master of the game. He had acquired the power to make you lose.
A wicked smile plays on Jack's face as he scoops up the multicoloured pile of chips and pushes them into the oblivion of the hole in the table. Blackness.